Web hosting for Lowdown Radio is provided by HostGator.com. Use the code LOWDOWNRADIO and receive $9.94 off your next hosting package. Eat up the competition at HostGator.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Heel Turn. This is episode number 7 of The Heel Turn. Today is a very special WrestleMania day. It is the morning of WrestleMania. We are excited. We are ready. Bobby Rogue, are you ready for WrestleMania?
Oh, yes, I am. They call it a stroke of genius. Well, Bobby Rogue is also a stroke of genius. But yes, they call WWE WrestleMania a stroke of genius. And I think for WrestleMania 27, we are going to see the good guys, the bad guys, the stories, the legends, the icons, the showstoppers. They will all be in the house. But Bobby Rogue has asked to ask Carlos right off the bat. Let's talk to Streak.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this to me, this is the biggest match of the entire night. I don't even know why it's not the main event. But, you know, I think they're trying to hype the Miz Cena Rock main event better. But I have a lot of... I don't know if Triple H is the guy to end the streak, and I'm really hoping that he's not. I think the streak needs to live on.
I hope we see a swerve. I hope we see the swerve.
Well, you know, because they brought Shawn Michaels in the mix the last couple of weeks, and you know, the last Raw that you saw Shawn Michaels kind of shaking his head at Triple H, saying you can't beat him. You just can't beat him. And so, you know, it makes you wonder if Shawn Michaels is going to do something. It makes you wonder if Shawn Michaels is going to turn against Triple H, and, you know, there's going to be some story arc. I don't think Shawn Michaels is coming back to wrestle, but there's a lot that you can do with Shawn Michaels outside the ring. Just to draw a lot of people in. Maybe this is just going to be a clean match. Maybe, you know, they just, you know, hand it down. And I really, really hope that it's not Triple H as the guy ending the streak. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to end a streak. I think that creative, what they're doing now is that they're just trying to make new fun ways to have Undertaker win. You know, I think we saw that the last 2 years with Shawn Michaels. You know, he barely beat him. Then he came back a second year and barely beat him again. So now I think he's just going to be getting, you know, by from the, you know, skin of his tights to continue winning. But the streak will never, ever go down.
You know,
and I think I smell a swerve. For those of you who love the Hall of Fame, go to lordsofpain.net, man, and check out some YouTube video. And you will see the Click reunite on stage. Sean Waltman, Kevin Nash was there, Triple H, Shawn Michaels. Obviously, Razor Ramon was not there because he's in rehab or he's trying to get sober, so he didn't want to be around in that atmosphere. But check that stuff out. So, I mean, it leads me to believe that if you got, you know, pretty much the entire Click in the house, that maybe there might, you know, we might see the return of the Click tonight.
That'd be interesting because, you know, they've already got... Diesel back, right? And he's doing stuff with the WWE, and then it makes you wonder if they're going to bring Sean Waltman back, you know, as X-Pac.
Even for one night only.
Right. You know, maybe you see them sitting in it, maybe you see them come out and sit in Triple H corner or something like that, but they don't have an effect on anything that happens in the match. But yeah, I just, you know, I just for me personally, I kind of hope that The Undertaker can just keep up, to be real honest. I thought it was real telling the other day on Raw, where, you know, Triple H does that whole thing is when we made a pact between me and Sean that to tell each other when it was over, and now I'm telling you out of respect that it's over, you know, and basically telling The Undertaker that he's finished, that he shouldn't be wrestling anymore. And I was like, dang, that's an interesting twist that they did. They're really kind of bringing out this real deep, you know, emotional kind of thing for a lot of these story arcs right now.
Yep, they really are with the story arcs. You know, one thing I do like about Triple H when it comes to the big stage, which is WrestleMania, he doesn't win a lot. In fact, I think I've seen him lose quite a few times at WrestleMania. So my respects to Triple H that when it comes to the big show, you know, he's down to, you know, put people over. He doesn't do it the rest of the year, but he does it, I guess, during the most important time of the year.
But yeah, I guess that makes you wonder. So say Triple H does break end the streak, you know, and then what do you do at that point with him? You know, and I guess that's the whole thing. There is no up for him anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Not exactly somebody that you put a belt on. So, you know, let's get off a little bit off the card today. What are your thoughts about us finally meeting this seamless host?
Oh, for the Raw General Manager?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to come out today? Is that the plan?
Nah, that storyline is ongoing. You know, I think it's just pretty cool, but you know, maybe as a, as a curtain call, do you think we might on Monday, you know, see the GM, you know, up here? I don't know.
You know, I mean, there's so many different directions they can take that, because they could just make the GM be Michael Cole, because, you know, they're doing this whole huge heel thing with Michael Cole right now. And Michael Cole can just come on and say, I've been the GM the entire time and I've been running the show and blah, 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 just to kind of, you know, continue to solidify his role, his character as a heel, which, you know, not for nothing. You can say what you want about Michael Cole and you can feel what you want. They have taken this character and they did the same thing with the coach, right? If you think about where the coach started, he just started as one of the random backstage interview guys, you know, getting punked out by The Rock or whatever. Michael Cole started the same way. And his story has been, he was a backstage guy. Then he became an announcer or a play-by-play color commentator. Now all of a sudden he's taking on this whole persona of that he's this heel and he does all this stuff and he's bashing JR and taking it to the king and his family. It's really, really amazing the evolution of him and the evolution of his character. And people genuinely hate this guy right now. And they don't realize that it's just, you know, it's a role that he's playing, but he's so good at it.
And that's what you call in wrestling terminology, he is getting over.
Yeah.
And for those of you that want to be a heel or a heel broadcaster, follow in Michael Cole's footsteps and go to Syracuse University, one of the greatest broadcasting schools in the world.
It's absolutely amazing what he's been able to do in the persona that he's taken on. And they're really pushing the envelope with, especially with the personal stuff that they're bringing up on. They keep bringing up on the king. They keep bringing up his mother's death. They keep bringing up his father. They brought up Brian Christopher, which I don't know if you saw that episode of Raw. When he came out to his music, it was like a rock dropping in a freaking silent room because nobody even popped for Brian Christopher whatsoever, except maybe like me, because I thought it was kind of cool him being back out there. But I don't think that segment went over as well as they thought it was going to, because literally there was no reaction from the crowd at all for him, except when he started picking on the king. And of course, they started hating on him. But they're really, you know, pushing the emotional envelope, like I said earlier, with all these story arcs and what they're doing with the king.
Yeah, you got to get really creative when you don't have a product that is PG-13. All right, let's move on to the next match. What you got for us, Carlos?
Let's talk about the Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. So I'm kind of thrown a little bit about this match. I mean, it's probably the biggest match of Cody Rhodes' career to go against, you know, a former world champion, you know, a high flyer like Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio is going to put this guy over, and maybe it's a good stepping stone for Cody Rhodes. But you know, is this just a filler match, or what are they doing with this?
I don't think creative has had anything for Cody Rhodes that's good or Rey Mysterio in a long time. So, you know, my best to both of them. Put on a show. You're on the biggest stage tonight, the granddaddy of them all. That's all I have for that match.
All right, so let's move on to the United States Championship match, Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. Kind of surprised to see the United States Championship on Sheamus again. I didn't think the WWE was really high on Sheamus for the longest time, you know, and he was a champion, and then all of a sudden
he was trained by Triple H.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he's back down, you know. Maybe it's a way to put Daniel Bryan over, which is great. I don't know. It seems like a weird match for Sheamus, at least at this level. Maybe if it was an Intercontinental Championship match or something like that, might be a little bit more believable. But, I don't know. This match kind of concerns me. And, again, it seems like just one of the filler-type matches.
I think we're going to see some great Japanese-style match technique and match storyline. Daniel Bryan, I think, is going to tell a very, very good story, something that Sheamus doesn't have yet. And again, you know, a salute to Daniel Bryan. He is a former affiliate of All Pro Wrestling out of the San Francisco Bay Area. So officially now, you know, the WWE has had APW has had Crash Holly, has had Dalip Singh, and now has Daniel Bryan representing somebody in WrestleMania. You can't say that a lot about a lot of wrestling academies out there. For those of you that know, You know, I've been to APW, and I think they put out a great product. I think they put out great wrestlers, and good for Daniel Bryan.
You know, I just think they need to figure out what to do with his character because he's not coming over very well. You know, his mic skills aren't the best. They got him coming out to some crazy-ass music, whether the Flight of the Valkyrie or something like that. And it, I don't know. The other day when I was watching him wrestle, it kind of seemed like he was getting ready to make a heel turn. I don't know if it was just me kind of looking at something different or what the deal was, but I don't know. It seems like they're not doing a whole lot of character development with him.
What's tough with these mid-carders is that when they're better than the main eventers, you have to figure out a way to keep them down or to not get all of their, you know, creativity and technique, because by then when the main event match comes, you know, the crowd has already seen in the eyes of the Federation or in the eyes of creative the best match. I think Daniel Bryan, you know, is probably one of the best wrestlers on that roster, but it's tough because he's not big, so he's not going to be main eventing anytime soon. Right. So they kind of have to hold him back, kind of like when they did with Rey Mysterio, you know, or Eddie Guerrero or Benoit, you know, right. Like they were, you know, subpar mid-carders that, you know, and everybody knew that they were not, or Jericho for that matter. Right. All of a sudden, once they made it, you know, to the last match, you know, they went up balls out. So I hope it's a stepping stone for Daniel Bryan, man.
So who wins? Talk to me. Who do you think is going to win this one?
Daniel Bryan with a submission move. I think it's an homage to Japanese wrestling.
What about the first? You know, that's the one thing we forgot to talk about. The first one, Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio. Who wins that one?
Rey Mysterio.
Cool. So let's talk about the eight-man tag team match. The Core versus Vladimir Kozlov, Santino Marella, Big Show, and Kane. What do you think about this big eight-man tag team match?
I think when it comes to WrestleMania, I don't think the Core is going to get put over this year. So I think you just might see the old school guys just give them the beatdown because they're the good guys. So the bad guys will go down today when it comes to this match.
You know, I think it was one of the most disturbing things I've ever seen on Raw the other day when Kane was dancing with these guys. You never see
doing the little horn.
you never see Kane break character too often. He's one of those big professional kind of guys like the Undertaker who doesn't really break character. But it was weird to see him actually, you know, kind of being funny and doing something different. You know, and I always wonder what he's like in real life. In fact, I heard him on a podcast one time, a wrestling podcast, and you know he was talking normal and you know wasn't the big red machine, and he sounds like actually a pretty nice guy. Which is weird when you look at him, you know. So I guess looks can be deceiving with guys like that.
He's been given some pretty good characters. I think he's had a run just as long as, you know, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, The Undertaker. You know, if memory serves me correctly, you know, he was battling out with some of the 80s icons when he was Nails. So
yeah, you know, and that's one of the guys. You know, maybe he's one of the guys that doesn't get enough credit because, you know, a lot of people don't like Kane and they don't think he can wrestle or whatever, but he has been there year in and year out. He's hardly been hurt that I can remember. And he's just always been there. You know, he's held a couple world titles and you know, gone epic battles with The Undertaker at that. So, you know, I wonder, you know, what is this guy's legacy going to be when everything's said and done for him? Because he's been around a long time, too. If you can think of the top three oldest guys in the locker room, it's probably Undertaker, Triple H, and Kane. I don't know who else is the longest. Yeah, but you never hear about that.
Nah, they don't really talk about it, I think, because, you know the Attitude Era is on its way out. That's why. I mean, they're the last of the Attitude Era. One thing when Kane does go on his way out, I hope that the mask and the hair make a comeback. Because I think that's when he started to lose his mojo.
Right. All right, moving on. Let's talk about John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki versus Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool. What do you think about this reality star match?
Not a big fan. I guess, you know, if you got to talk reality TV and you got to talk wrestling, I guess they do go hand in hand. But, you know, Jersey Shore, come on, you know. But, you know, what the WWE does with this is that it actually, you know, brings truth to its perception, you know. So,
yeah, they're just using this as a publicity stunt to pull in a different.
It's unfortunate because, you know what, we'll talk about Hall of Fame. I know you're not a big fan of Drew Carey going in. And, you know, the last thing I want to see is one of these years us talking about how now Snooki's going into the HOF.
Oh, Lord, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
the Hall of Fame might as well just close its doors if that ever happens.
You know, not to mention the fact that they're trying to do, you know, a physical location. So I think that's pathetic when you're going to have the celebrity wing.
I think, you know, this is, I don't know if it's a smack in the face for John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler. I think they could have come up with a better storyline and hyped up this match a little bit differently, especially with rising stars like John Morrison and Dolph Ziggler. You know, everyone's real high on Dolph Ziggler right now, but you're going to put him in a, you know, intergender tag team match with a reality star. Yeah, I don't know about that, especially, you know, do that at a random pay-per-view. Don't do that at the big dance. You know what I mean?
And exactly. And if you were even going to put that at a random pay-per-view, you'd put it like at the Great American Bash or something, which doesn't even exist anymore. That's how much we don't need this match.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole with special guest referee Stone Cold Steve Austin himself. I'm picking Jerry Lawler. Who's your pick?
Yeah, Lawler's going to take it. And you know what? I'm not sure if I just picked a winner for the last match, but of course I want Ziggler and Morrison to take it.
Ziggler and Morrison, they're fighting each other.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm picking Ziggler over Morrison. My bad.
Jerry Lawler's going to win this big emotional announcers match. This is the first. I was very surprised to learn that this was the first WrestleMania that Jerry Lawler's going to wrestle in. I didn't realize that.
Not to mention the fact that at one point he was bigger than Hulk Hogan. He was actually the most popular wrestler, period. A lot of people don't remember that. Jerry Lawler is hands down one of the most publicly followed, you know, wrestlers in the world. You know, he took out Latka from Taxi.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they might actually twist this around on us a little bit and, you know, maybe Michael Cole wins. And if Michael Cole wins, that just, you know, solidifies his heel character even more. I think the fact that they already brought back Brian Christopher, even though we talked about how it kind of didn't go over very well. You know, maybe we see the return of Brian Christopher to help his dad, and they kind of do a touchy-feely kind of good spin on this where they, you know, they hug at the end. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So let's move on to the World Heavyweight Championship match, Edge versus Alberto Del Rio. Alberto Del Rio is getting pushed beyond belief to, you know, barely be in the WWE, I think it's like 8 months, and then to be headlining one of the World Championship matches at WrestleMania. What do you think about that?
His father was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. His father was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. And now Alberto Del Rio is probably one of the biggest wrestlers of all time outside of the United States. I think the U.S. is finally paying homage to the international superstars of wrestling, and Alberto Del Rio is going to win the belt hands down.
Think so? I mean, so think about it. So he's come into the WWE, and has he had any other championships?
Oh yeah, he's held like the biggest championships in internationally.
No, what I'm saying is, has he held any other WWE championships though?
He might have held the US or the Intercontinental, if that serves me correctly. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's the winner of the Rumble, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting because you know, I don't know what Edge's win loss record at WrestleMania is, but I think they might do it. I think they actually might drop the belt and give it to Del Rio, and then there's going to be kind of a long title reign with the World Championship.
That's true. You know, I've never really been a big fan of Edge. I never really liked it when he debuted. I think the biggest thing he's ever done, in my eyes, in the WWE is a hookup with Lita.
Well, you know, it was kind of cool to see him and Christian back together on Raw the other day. But, you know, there's also been a lot of talk about Edge retiring, and there's a lot of rumors going around on the internet right now about him retiring. So maybe this is the time. Maybe he's going to drop the belt and then take a step back and actually retire.
I mean, he looks like a beaten man, but you know what? I hope that Dos Caras takes it. And, you know, I'll give you guys a little bit of history. You know, Alberto Del Rio, his real name is Dos, or as a wrestler, he's Dos Caras Jr. You know, he's mixed it up in mixed martial arts, and he's a luchador, and he's wrestled in Japan, and he's former heavyweight champ for one of the biggest federations, you know, in wrestling, which is the CMLL. You know, if you guys don't know who his father is big-time star Dos Caras, and you know, there's a direct family connection to Mil Mascaras, which is actually one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. So he's going to be really, really good. I would have liked, you know, Del Rio or Dos Caras to have debuted with his mask, but I'll take what we got with what he has. And I hope today, I'm looking forward to seeing what car comes to the ring.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's interesting. You're just saying that he's a second-generation superstar. And, you know, they tried to do that whole push with Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase and all those kind of superstars. It'd be cool to see a faction of second-generation superstars versus, you know, the John Cena's and the Triple H's of the world. So, you know, say John Cena, Triple H, Kane, whoever from the, you know, more of the semi-attitude era leading up into the, you know, beginning of the millennium, all of a sudden start battling with a faction of nothing but second generation guys, Cody Rhodes, Dusty Rhodes, or Ted DiBiase, Alberto Del Rio,
Husky, you know, Harris.
Yeah. The one that's coming out with Jimmy Snuka's daughter. I forgot those guys' name. Or even the Hart Foundation or the Hart Legacy. You know, you could do a lot with that story.
Oh, yeah. Ricky Steamboat's son is, you know, on his way in.
Right, right. And then you've got Vicky Guerrero's daughter on her way in. You know, who signed on with FCW. So there could be a lot of little things they can do with that whole story arc. And you heard
it
here first.
Little advice for, you know, right now. Right now that we're talking about second generational wrestlers, you know, a little bit of advice for WWE creative. I'm not a big fan of, you know, Cody Rhodes' persona, you know, the whole dashing thing. You want to make Cody Rhodes over, have him talk and have him look like Dusty Rhodes, and he will get over.
Think
you know,
so?
he was a simple man or whatever. Huh. Yeah, you know, I think that unless you want to go the route of Goldust, I mean, Goldust, you know, legitimately, you know, went way opposite of his father. And had success.
Yeah, but look at they tried to do that with Ted DiBiase, and you know he's trying to be his dad's character was, and it's just not working.
That didn't get over. That's not working. I think it would have worked if they would have kept Virgil. I don't think Maurice, whatever her name is doing well for him.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? At the end of the day, the biggest superstars out there are not part of any mold. You know, when you think of the Stone Cold Steve Austins or the Rocks of the world or the John Cena's of the world, they're not imitating anybody. It was something they stumbled into, and it's an extension of themselves, and they made it big. You know, so I think...
I agree. Steve Austin would have never made it if he continued his gimmick of being the Hollywood blonde.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, creative has got to figure out a way to find something that's going to play to these guys' strengths and who they... I mean, because, you know, all the biggest superstars will always tell you, well, I am... You know, The Rock is The Rock at some level, except it's turned up 100 times when he's wrestling, right? Stone Cold Steve Austin is Stone Cold Steve Austin at on a personal level, but it's just turned up. You know, so all those big superstars will tell you at some point is, this is kind of really how I am, except I'm making it bigger because of the entertainment part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that very nice observation.
All right, so let's talk about, you know, we've already talked Undertaker Triple H. Both of us are calling it that the streak stays alive. So let's talk about the last match, WWE Championship match, The Miz versus John Cena. You've got The Rock in the mix. Talk to me about what you think is going to happen here.
I hope that The Miz puts on a Miz-tifying night. I hope so. I'm not a fan of Cena. I'm whatever with The Rock right now. I think he's one of the greatest mouths in wrestling. I hope he somehow gets involved with the match, but I just want to see The Miz take it.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually going to put it out there right now. I think this has been coming for a long time, but I think they already started kind of planting the seeds a couple of weeks with John Cena, you know, this whole John Cena Rock thing. I think John Cena turns heel tonight. I'm calling it now.
I hope so.
I think something's going to happen, and they're finally going to flip him.
That's good because, you know, he already has the crowd one-liner, Cena sucks.
And it's been like that for a long time. And you kind of seen him kind of walking down this heel road. They keep pulling him back because the merchandise sales with the kids are too good still.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at Raw, look how Raw ended. The Rock messed up The Miz. And then Cena, you know, did the FU to The Rock. And that's how it ended.
And you know what? If Cena wants to become a millionaire through merchandising, he should have asked for 90% of all merchandise sales of the T-shirt Cena sucks, because everybody would wear that, you know.
But you think about it: Cena's been a face for how many years now? Years,
yes,
he's been a face
since his debut.
Yeah,
and you know, I liked original Cena. I liked hip. You know, I've never liked hip hop wrestlers, but I liked hip hop Cena.
Yeah, Yeah, I think it's just time, man. I think it's time to flip him. You know, we've talked about him flipping a couple of times on the show. I think if you're going to do it in any night, you're going to do it tonight. I think you're going to see something, maybe The Miz and Cena team up and on The Rock. You know, I don't know. They should
put a new piece of terminology into WWE and call it the Hulk Hogan flip. Because it was the biggest flip ever, and people went nuts. And it would be good if Cena did it.
You know, and that same thing with, like, Stone Cold. Stone Cold has turned heel at a WrestleMania before. I forgot which WrestleMania it was. It was Stone Cold and The Rock, and Vince McMahon was involved with this match. And next thing you know, Stone Cold did something, and he teamed up with Vince and won the championship. And he came out the next night at Raw. And I was at that Raw in Oklahoma City the night after Stone Cold turned heel. And was teaming up with Vince McMahon. So it happens. It's not like it doesn't happen. You know, you get your biggest stars and you turn them heel. And you just take that to the next level. And I think it's way beyond time for Cena to make the heel turn.
Well, you know, WrestleMania certainly is not without its star power this year. I mean, there is tons of it. And I read a interview earlier, and I think it was Cena or Triple H. And they're like, just when you think that, you know, Vince McMahon has given you all his stars, more of them come out. And it's always during the big dance. So, you know, here's to Vince McMahon. You are an awesome CEO. You are a creative mind. Give us a great show. I'm sure Carlos and I will be at a WrestleMania coming soon again, you know, as press this time.
Yeah, if everything goes the way it's planned.
All right, who's your favorite wrestler on the WrestleMania card? Just any of them, you know, manager, valet, whoever. Who do you like? Who's your favorite character in the WWE that's going to be in WrestleMania?
You know,
this
I
year?
Think right now it's got to be The Miz. You know, and I've talked about The Miz, and I've talked about how high I am on The Miz, and I actually was talking to my wife about it the other day. We were watching Raw, and The Miz got it, man. And you think about the humble beginnings this dude came from. You know, tough enough character, working his way up, you know, paid his dues, you know, won the championships the way he was supposed to. He didn't get any kind of these special favors like Sheamus or Alberto Del Rio got. He, you know, he went through the championship path, you know, working his way up, and he finally made it WWE champion, and he's doing it. And he's, to me, he's a different kind of champion.
He's a throwback. He definitely is the type of wrestler who came up paying his dues in the locker room.
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, you've got this whole mix now of social media and internet and all the stuff that goes along with that. And he has had a way of doing that and using that to, you know, not only advance his character, but to keep him, you know, seeming like he's down to earth too. Because, you know, he mixes in his, you know, character tweets with his personal tweets. At least it seems like he does. And he's on all these shows and all this stuff. I think when we look back, you know, 10, 15 years from now, at a point where the WWE championship changed, I think you're going to see the Miz being one of those definitive moments in how the championship has evolved.
Definitely. And then, you know, talking about, you know, character creation, he created his own character, you know, on MTV's reality show, The Real World.
Right, exactly. So, again, the formula works. I'm sure at some level the Miz is who he is. And he's just turning it up for wrestling. He's turning it up for the show.
Agreed. The Miz is awesome.
Yeah. He's probably one of the biggest ones. I'm actually kind of disappointed to see Jericho's not on the card. as much as I hate to admit it, I have been watching him on Dancing with the Stars just because I'm a big Jericho fan, and I can't wait for him to come back. And I'm calling it now. He's coming back as a face for sure, because he was turning face even before he left. As hard as he was trying to stay a heel, it just wasn't working anymore because the crowd was too into this guy.
All right, my favorite wrestler on the card, Santino Marella.
Yeah.
It's pure, unadulterated entertainment. He knows how to tell the story in the ring. He is hilarious, and he's a good wrestler.
Dude, you know, one of my favorite move from Santino is not the Cobra. It's actually his hip toss. You ever see him do a hip toss?
He does throws those hips there.
Dude, yeah. He does the old school up high in the air, and it's like he figures out how to slow down the momentum that it makes it look like it's really hurting the guy he's doing it to. He's got that old school hip toss that people don't really use anymore, and I love that.
Yeah. He is a raw wrestler. He is an entertainer. He is a student of the game. Okay, let's talk Hall of Fame. Who are you looking forward to going into the Hall? Who will be your favorite inductee?
you know, I'm glad to see that the Road Warriors got inducted. I mean, they're old school, you know, like Jim Ross said, the greatest tag team ever. Not that I don't like Drew Carey, but I think inducting celebrities into the Hall of Fame, I just don't dig that whole thing. But I think, you know, and I'm going to say like everyone else does, you know, HBK in the Hall of Fame definitely deserved. Do I think it was too early? Yeah. I mean, he just stopped wrestling a year ago. But I think, I mean, of course, not everybody, HBK deserves it, you know, And I'm happy to see him in there. Can't wait to see the coverage of the Hall of Fame tomorrow night in USA. Not that we're sponsored by USA, but they are playing the bigger parts of the Hall of Fame tomorrow night right before Raw. HBK definitely my pick. Who's yours?
The Road Warriors. Who else? The Legion of Doom. What a rush.
So talk to me. Did Animal die? Is that why he wasn't there?
Yes, he did. He passed away. He had problems with drugs, obviously, you know, a little suspicion of steroids. If you've noticed, even in the 80s, they were the biggest guys in the locker room.
Yeah.
But they were also great, great at what they did. And I'm very glad to see them in. But I'm especially glad that they included Paul Ellering into the whole mix, because he definitely was a huge piece of the LOD. And that's my favorite. And I'm just so glad and so happy for them.
You know, we've talked about it many, many times on the Hill Turn about the fact that their tag team division sucks right now, and they need to take it back to the old school and do these tag teams of yesteryear and build stories. You know, do it with a new twist. Don't take the models from last time or last time around, but you've got to get these good tag teams back in here, actual teams, instead of, you know, the Core or Nexus. I mean, really, the biggest things you got right now going on is Core and Nexus. You know, who else do you really have? They tried to do it with the Heart Legacy. It wasn't working. They tried to do it with, you know, even, you know, as much as I love Santino, you know, him and Vladimir, just, you know, to me, it's just a gimmick. You know what I mean? They need to take it back to the old school. They need to get those solid teams, and they need to actually do something creative with their tag team division.
I would love to see a storyline WWE. I know you listen to my podcast. I've been looking at Google Analytics. I know it's coming from Connecticut. I'm pretty sure it's your headquarters. And
Vince McMahon himself.
Yeah, I think Vince likes my voice.
He loves Bobby Rogue.
He's a fan. So Vinnie Mac, straight from Bobby Rogue's mouth. You want to do something with the tag team division? Here's a little storyline you can take. You can run a mid-card storyline. Have somebody like one of the Road Warriors become commissioner of the tag team division, put the tag teams together, and then have him come out on the stage like the GM does and put together some awesome tag matches. Put together some awesome tag teams, and you will see your tag team division flourish once again.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if they did something like that.
Vinnie Mac, that's going to cost you a red Ferrari California 2011. You've got my address, buddy.
All right, man. So, big WrestleMania weekend. Out of everything going on between the Hall of Fame, between the matches, between whatever else, what are you looking forward to the most?
The streak. I want to see the streak stay intact.
Do you think they're going to bring it to each other? I mean, you got the two biggest stars in the WWE going at it.
I've never been a big fan of Triple H, but I've been a fan of The Undertaker showing up at WrestleMania and doing things that a 100-pounder should be doing. He always brings it. He puts on the best matches. So you will see the rope walk. You will see him diving over the ropes. And you will see the Tombstone Piledriver tonight. And you will see Triple H rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. That's the biggest match I want to watch. If I don't see anything else tonight, I'm going to watch. I want to watch that the streak match. I just want to see what happens. Can't wait for it. Can't wait to see the outcome. Can't wait to see the twists and the turns and the swerves. And but at the end of the day, I can't wait to see the Undertaker's hand raised in victory, 19-0. And I hope that's it for it, because I don't know how many more WrestleManias this brother's got. All right, everybody, if you'd like to learn more about the Heel Turn, you can visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/lowdownradio. Bobby Rogue, any last parting words on this beautiful WrestleMania day?
To the internet fans, Bobby Rogue's your vibe, and you know it.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.